on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the HSE says the Seelter Group has applied for funding to have extra beds opened at the hospital, but no commitment has been given on reopening the short-stay ward at Letterkenny University Hospital. The High Court has approved a €15 million settlement for a four-year-old boy from Donegal who was catastrophically injured during his birth. There's been a 52% increase in the number of passengers travelling on the Aer Lingus regional route between Donegal and Dublin, and the government is giving Ampost a €30 million loan in a bid to save rural post offices. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news, the HSE says the Seelter Group has applied for funding to have extra beds opened at Letterkenny University Hospital under a special winter initiative, but would give no commitment on providing money to enable them to open up the closed short-stay ward at the hospital. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says he is disappointed with the response he received today at the Regional Health Forum meeting in Galway in relation to the issue. He says all hospitals in the group are short of beds, and this means they will all be competing for money from the same pot. He also says this needs more than a winter initiative.
We all know the problems that the hospitals are experiencing with overcrowding and people lying on trolleys. We have 33 today. From October last year, we had 121 in trolleys, and October this year, we have 459. So it shows you the problem that the hospital is experiencing. I asked the question, could they source funding to open up the 20-bed short-stay ward? And what they said is that they have submitted a proposal on the unmet need and winter initiative. And as we all know, this isn't a winter problem anymore. This last couple of 3 years, it's been a daily occurrence.
The other issue is that Galway is one of the three or four other hospitals that regularly is high up in terms of the overcrowding status. Galway also part of the Seelter Group, so whatever resources are made available to Seelter, Galway and Letterkenny are both going to be competing presumably for the same pot.
I was informed that all of the Seelter hospitals, all of them, every one of them is under capacity as regards beds and are in need of acute beds. And I can only imagine that there's a small amount of money in that pot, and when it's spread across all the hospitals in the Seelter group, that we'll get little or nothing, and it will not impact on the people in trolleys and on the staff who are, I believe, are at breaking point at many of the hospitals. We have the staff who are at breaking point, and we have people who are waiting in trolleys and increasing numbers every day. And it's, as I said, it's not good enough. And I've been calling, you know, we've had minister after minister, including the current Taoiseach, who said they were going to turn around the problems in the health service. And like Minister Harris today, they've all failed miserably.
The Taoiseach is to make a statement to the Dáil this evening on when she became aware of a Garda strategy to discredit Maurice McCabe. Frances Fitzgerald said she doesn't remember an email she got in May 2015 which described a row between the legal teams of the Garda Commissioner and Sergeant McCabe. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar told the Dáil he did not mislead it when he said last week that Minister Fitzgerald only became aware of the Garda strategy at the start of the O'Higgins Commission in May 2016. Bowing to pressure from Micheál Martin, Brendan Howland and Piers Doherty, Leo Varadkar said Frances Fitzgerald would speak on the matter later. Previous to this, there was a spirited exchange between the Taoiseach and Lascaigh Corlett Donegal Deputy Pat the Coupe Gallagher over the legalities of the issue.
I think it would be important, and I don't wish to tell you how to do your job here, and don't take it up this way, but I think it would be important that the Chair or that your office or somebody gets some legal advice. A tribunal has been established by this House to look into these matters.
I don't need legal advice. I don't need legal advice on a simple question. Deputies are requesting that an opportunity be given to make statements. That's a matter for the House, not legal advice by me. I might not be a lawyer, but I have common sense, and I'm here 36 or 37 years, and I won't be dictated to by anybody in this House, even the Taoiseach. Hold on, Taoiseach. Hold on. You're not in the chair. So, Tisha, I would put it to you that four members of this House have posed a question. They're not agreeing to the order of business. It's a matter for you to decide then, are you agreeing to that or not? So I will immediately put the question on the order of business.
The High Court has approved a €15 million settlement for a four-year-old boy who was catastrophically injured during his birth at the Coombe Hospital in Dublin. The hospital apologised to Owen McCulloch from Dunkaneely in County Donegal and his parents for his injuries and for the devastating consequences for the family. RTE is reporting that speaking outside the court, Owen's father Anthony said the family could forgive a mistake, but they could not forgive the way the HSE dealt with their family and others in such cases. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Owen McCulloch was born on November 24, 2012 at the Coombe Hospital in Dublin. The court heard the Coombe stopped monitoring Owen's heart rate at 9:30 on the morning of his birth. His parents alleged if he'd been monitored further, medical staff would have seen that he was in distress. Owen was born at around 11:30. The court heard he'd been deprived of oxygen in the 20 minutes just before he was born. As a result, he cannot walk or talk and can communicate only with his eyes and expressions. If he had been monitored and delivered early, he would not have suffered such injuries, the court heard. RTE is reporting that Owen's father Anthony told the court the HSE had spent €800 million over the past 10 years in fighting such cases. He said the money could be put to better use. Mr. Justice Kelly agreed there must be a better way than litigation to the bitter end.
Culture has today announced that they have withdrawn their application for a road through Lisnagra Woods in Mough. A meeting was held last week with the company after concerns were raised locally over the environmental impact the proposed plans would have on wildlife in the area. The company has now agreed on an alternative access route for the road, which they say will not go through the area of native woodland, but will allow Culture to harvest the area of commercial trees. A move welcomed by Cathaoirleach of the Inishowe Municipal District Councillor Jack Murray, who has described it as a victory for local people.
We met with Culture representatives on site last week and explained our opposition to the road at the beautiful scenic Lisnagra Woods, where the older, the more deciduous trees are based. And we asked that a road wouldn't go ahead there as the plan had stated, and it would go around at a different location where they wouldn't damage any of the old trees. So thankfully this morning, Culture representative rang me to confirm that they have withdrawn the application. And I have to say this is it's a great victory for the local community, for the people of Mough who came together. Thousands signed a petition. People really came together and decided such a positive outcome.
And you have said that there is now going to be another plan put forward for a road that will not have such an impact on the environment.
Thankfully, they're going to relocate the road around the back, away from the old and scenic Lisnagra Woods. So they'll simply just be accessing the spruce trees that they, I suppose, is more of a crop to Culture to harvest those, and they won't impact on the habitat where the red squirrel lives. Or I suppose where the community enjoys scenic walks, that place will remain untouched and remain as scenic and as beautiful as it has always been.
The government is giving Amposta a €30 million loan in a bid to save rural post offices. It'll be repaid over 5 years, with €15 million being put directly into the post office network. The cabinet approved the funding this morning, saying the money will ensure the current services remain in place. Communications Minister Dennis Naughton said Ampost will have to diversify as a condition for getting the money.
It's part of a broader reform of the company. It's probably the single biggest restructuring of a state company that's taken place since the foundation of the state. The company and the board have now put in place a four-year development plan, and I'm looking forward to seeing that being delivered, new business being brought into the company, and an expansion of services.
A former Ulster Unionist MP is suggesting that Donegal would be better off being part of the UK. John Taylor, now Lord Kilcluny, says Donegal has been forgotten by the Irish government. Speaking during a discussion on the potential impact of Brexit on border counties, Lord Kilcluny told Ocean FM that Donegal would gain from being part of Britain.
Oh, I'm certain it would, because it would benefit from the block grant from London that we already enjoy in Northern Ireland, €10 billion a year we get. It really is the hinterland of Northern Ireland, and it would be great to have it back in with us.
Donegal County Councillors have been unable to reach an agreement on the Council's 2018 budget. After almost 6 hours of adjournments and private deliberations at yesterday's meeting, it was agreed the meeting be adjourned until next week. Catherine Gaffney reports.
The day began with presentations from council executives, with CEO Seamus Neely giving a comprehensive outlook of Budget 2018. In his opening address, he warned of Brexit and that its impact would be most aggravated in Donegal. Mr. Neely continued to say that because the organisation decided to leave the local property tax as it was, they had no other option but to increase the commercial rates in Donegal by 5%. The proposal was met with opposition from councillors from across the party divide. Fianna Fáil has submitted a total of 30 queries to the council in relation to the budget, with party whip councillor Kieran Brogan stressing that no other local authority in the country was considering such a move. He said that an increase in rates would send a negative message to local businesses. Sinn Féin has put forward a proposal that would increase the small business grant scheme to a maximum of €500. Speaking after the final adjournment last night, Councillor Marie-Thérèse Gallagher says she hopes other councillors will consider this proposal in the coming days.
A solution has to be found. It's obviously it won't be in a 5% increase in the rates to the business people across the county. I think everybody made that clear today. We have had a number of proposals. We've had a proposal that we've shared with the rest of the members, and they're going to go and consider one of that proposal that we put forward. We'll also be in the days ahead working with the management and the other parties and independents to see if we can come up with a solution. We don't have a choice. We have to come to a solution at some stage, whether it's to pass or not to pass a budget.
Meanwhile, Councillor Barry O'Neill warned over a possible downturn in trade in the run-up to Christmas if commercial rates are increased. He says with much uncertainty surrounding Brexit, now is not the time to increase the rates.
The 5% increase on commercial rates, you know, in these uncertain times with the challenges that many businesses are facing coming up to the Christmas trade, the cross-border rate with sterling working against the euro area, obviously also the challenges that Brexit may bring in the future, and it's not a great message to be given to businesses.
Councillors and officials now need to find €1.7 million by next week if the budget is to be balanced. The budget meeting reconvenes on Friday week, December the 1st.
Highland Sport is sponsored by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny, where the big Black Friday sale is on this Friday from 9 to 12.
And it's 5:15, time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer, and the Champions League resumes tonight, and Liverpool are within touching distance of reaching the last 16. The Reds will join Manchester City and Tottenham in the knockout stages if they beat Sevilla in the Group E top-of-the-table clash in Spain. A draw would be enough if Maribor beat Spartak Moscow in Russia. Liverpool are aiming to become the first team to win at Sevilla's home ground in almost a year. Manager Jurgen Klopp is expecting a rough reception, but says that is nothing new.
We are here to get a result. A huge atmosphere that helps us a lot, 100%. But as I said, no excuse that we are not at home. We don't think like this. And I'm ready to enjoy the atmosphere as long as the atmosphere is there.
At the same time, Manchester City will be aiming to make it 5 wins out of 5 in Group F. Pep Guardiola's side welcome Feyenoord to the Etihad Stadium. Spurs will secure top spot in Group H if they beat Borussia Dortmund, and Real Madrid drop points at Apoel Nicosia. Tottenham will be eager to return to winning ways following Saturday's North London derby defeat to Arsenal. Mauricio Pochettino says they must be more clinical.
It's always difficult when the game is even, and when you play with the top clubs, it's so difficult to come back on the result, on the score. But we are positive, very positive, because the performance was good, the effort was good.
The FAA have referred online racist abuse suffered by Cyrus Christie to the Gardaí. Christie scored an own goal as the Republic were beaten 5-1 in the World Cup playoff by Denmark earlier this month. The Middlesbrough defender says he's saddened that racism still exists in football and he has to stand up against it. The IFA have laid down a marker in their attempts to keep Michael O'Neill as Northern Ireland manager. It's been reported that they've offered him an improved 6-year deal to stay in the job. O'Neill is the bookmaker's favourite to succeed Tony Pulis as West Brom manager, while the Scottish FA have also reached out in an effort to see him replace Gordon Strachan as their new national team manager. Everton's Umar Nias has become the first Premier League player to be charged with deceiving a match official. The Senegal striker was awarded a penalty in Saturday's 2-2 draw with Crystal Palace, but it appeared to dive. This is the first season where players in the top flight can retrospectively be handed two-match bans for diving or for forging injury. Chris Coleman takes charge of Sunderland for the first time tonight. The former Wales boss starts his term in the Championship's bottom side with a tough-looking match at fifth place Aston Villa. Sheffield United can reclaim top spot by beating Fulham at Bramall Lane. Third place Cardiff travel to Barnsley. Bristol City take on Preston at Ashton Gate. Two games tonight in the Premiership of the Irish League. Coleraine are playing Ards. The leaders Coleraine at home are looking to increase their advantage out to 5 points at the top of the standings. And the other game, Dungannon Swifts, are taking on Crusaders. The World Youth Boxing Championships came to a disappointing end for Donegal's Zoisha Clark today. The Cairn Donna featherweight suffered a hand injury in her last 16 bout with Mongolia's Numan Monkar. In a social media post, Louisa said she suffered the hand injury in the second round, which brought an end to the fight. She had been ahead, having won the first round. Another ring action. Conor Coyle returns to the ring tonight in Florida. The Derry light middleweight will fight Calvin Metcalf in his first 8-rounder as a professional on the Premier Boxing Champions card at the local Coliseum venue. Both fighters have the same records with a polished 6-0 stat since turning pro. In Gaelic games, Sláinte have been hit with another injury blow ahead of Sunday's Ulster final with Cavan Gaels. Micheál McGrath and Cormac O'Doherty have been ruled out of the tie at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh. O'Doherty has pulled a hamstring while McGrath has suffered a fractured jaw, an injury he sustained in the semi-final win over Kilcar. The Robert Emmett's club are already missing the services of Paul Bradley due to a back injury. It's a case of no news is good news for Ireland head coach Joe Smith. The squad at his disposal have no new injury concerns ahead of Saturday's test with Argentina. Rob Kearney is likely to be restored at fullback against the Pumas, and he's been looking to one key area where Ireland will need to improve from their win over Fiji.
One of the areas of this team that we pride ourselves on is our breakdown. It was excellent the week before against South Africans. And then we just let ourselves down a little bit. And then if you give the opposition pretty quick ball, your defence is going to suffer then a little bit from that too.
Finally, in cricket, Malahide has been confirmed as the venue for the Irish team's inaugural test match. That match is against Pakistan and it will be held in May of next year. That's it from the sports desk for today, Michaela. We'll have more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. There's been a 52% increase in the number of passengers travelling on the Aer Lingus regional route between Donegal Airport and Dublin. Figures released today show just over 33,500 passengers flew between Dublin and Donegal in the past 12 months. August of this year was the busiest with 3,600 passengers carried. Ronan Whitty is Revenue Director with Stobart Air, which operates the franchise. He says numbers have grown substantially since it took over the route from Logan Air.
When we took over the route at the back end of 2014 or the beginning of 2015, the route was carrying 22,000 passengers. We've been delighted with the response since then during the PSO tenure, where we've grown the numbers to just over 33,500 passengers. It's a 52% increase over the three-year period.
In terms of the long-term future of the route, Ronan, do you believe that Stobart Air will continue its interest? And given the success that Stobart has had on this route since taking it over, do you believe Stobart will be maintaining that route into the future?
Yes, under the PSO arrangement, I believe it's a route that we'd definitely be interested in going forward. As I said, we've managed to grow the numbers very successfully on that over the last 3 years, and I believe it's had a huge impact on the local economy in Donegal, and that's certainly something we're interested in pursuing.
The DUP leader says getting devolution back on track in the north is not helped by Sinn Féin's glorification of terrorism at the weekend. Arlene Foster was speaking after a meeting today with the British Prime Minister about restoring power sharing at Stormont. Ms Foster said Sinn Féin's Ardèche was disrespectful to efforts to restore power.
course, our preference is devolution, and has been since the March election. We are not the ones that brought devolution down. But we did say to the Prime Minister that we felt the glorification of terrorism at the weekend at Sinn Féin's conference was making it more difficult to bring around devolution. You know, it's quite disgraceful to look at the glorification that happened at the weekend of IRA terrorism. And of course, that makes it more difficult for us.
However, Sinn Féin President Gerry Adams says that was not the case.
I didn't see any glorification of anyone at the Ardèche. I saw respectable, comradely, in the presence of his family, acknowledgements of the role of Martin McGuinness.
As part of the council's examination into the increasing number of reported oil spills in Donegal's roads, drivers are being warned to take extra care to ensure fuel tanks are secure. Road Safety Officer with Donegal County Council, Brian O'Donnell, says oil and diesel spillages are a hazard to road users on a daily basis and is a result of carelessness. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrey made numerous representations to the council, calling for cross-party and inter-agency cooperation on the matter. Mr O'Donnell says collisions as a result of oil spillages are preventable.
Unfortunately, oil or diesel spills in Donegal roads are just a hazard that motorists face on a daily basis now. Unfortunately, far too many of them are being reported and obviously not reported as well. All vehicle types can potentially be a source of an oil leak. The main causes, based on the evidence that we have, is carelessness not closing the fuel caps, particularly on heavy goods vehicles. People transporting waste oil carried in poorly sealed barrels, possibly spill at junctions, particularly in turns and maybe possibly in roundabouts. And even the hydraulic systems or braking systems in agriculture vehicles could also be a source. We just want to make people aware that to check their vehicles to make sure that they aren't a source of an oil leak, because they are a danger in the roads.
And this is an issue that has been raised numerous times, and particularly now in the winter weather where nights are darker, you say that it is harder to spot these.
It's very, very hard to spot, obviously, because we're driving now darker mornings, darker evenings. And the reasons for this are such spills are mainly due to human error and the equipment failure on vehicles, but they all are preventable. So we would urge all people involved in the transport of oil or heavy goods vehicles, if your vehicle has a leak, get it repaired and don't drive on the roads until that job is completed, and make sure that the equipment such as fuel caps, etc., and hoses are replaced properly. And it is the driver's responsibility to keep the road network as safe as possible. And if you do come across an oil spill, report it immediately to the Gardaí so we can get it sorted.
On for weather now, mostly dry at first this evening, but becoming generally cloudy and misty later with some rain or drizzle at times, and highest temperatures of 5 to 6 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, the HSE says the Seelter Group has applied for funding to have extra beds opened at Letterkenny University Hospital under a special winter initiative, but would give no commitment on providing money to enable them to open up the closed short-stay ward at the hospital. The Taoiseach is to make a statement to the Dáil this evening on when she became aware of a Garda strategy to discredit Maurice McCabe. Previous to this, there was a spirited exchange between the Taoiseach and Loscon Corla, Donegal Deputy Patricope Gallagher, over the legalities of the issue. Culture has today announced that they have withdrawn their application for a road through Lisnagra Woods. The company has agreed on an alternative access route for the road, which they say will not go through the area of native woodland, but will allow Culture to harvest the area of commercial trees. And a former Ulster Unionist MP is suggesting that Donegal would be better off being part of the UK. John Taylor, now Lord Kilclooney, says Donegal has been forgotten by the Irish government. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. And we'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 21st of November. The death has taken place at Abergavenny Hospital off Kathleen O'Neill, 117, Carnamaria Road, Clody, formerly of Swatra. Her remains are reposing at St. Joseph's Church, Craigban. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place at Daleview House care home of Isabel Hamilton Brown in her 90th year, formerly of Lackaw. Service in her cousin Ernest Hamilton's home at 13 Ross Downey Park, Londonderry, on Thursday afternoon at 1:30, followed by burial in Upper Cumber Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Diabetes or Cancer Research, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay Funeral Director, 100 Spencer Road, Londonderry. The death has taken place of Raymond Maguire, 17, Moran Park, Newton Stewart. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Eugene's Church, Glenock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the sudden death has taken place of Martina McColgan, 113 Mealmore Drive, Strathroy, Oma, formerly of Victoria Bridge. Her remains are reposing at her sister Mina McColgan's home, 62 Mealmore Drive, Strathroy. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Killyclogher at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in Green Hill Cemetery, Oma. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Chest, Heart and Stroke, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.